Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You just missed it. We updated you on Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat not in a good place as they host the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. Butler, I think I said earlier, out multiple games. No, multiple weeks, it's being reported now. Again, according to Shams, the expectation is he'll be out multiple weeks, according to sources, in what is feared to be an MCL injury. We will talk those 8-seed NBA play-in games, East and West, coming up in about 40 minutes here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack, and yes, there is a little bit of baseball to talk about today, and we'll revisit some larger markets as well, season-long stat category markets, 1 hour from now. In 20 minutes, on top of what Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks had to say earlier, and some other mocks, including the latest from Dane Brugler, we'll take a look at some different bets that may make more sense now with the NFL draft just 1 week away. Never a slow time of year for the books. I don't care what they say. We go from the Super Bowl just about right into March Madness, and now here we are with the NFL draft, like I said, 7 days away, and the NBA playoffs upon us. Here to talk about all of it with us from BetMGM, our friend Seamus McGee. Morning, Seamus. Let's start with a conversation Joe and I were just having a second ago about Jontay Porter. Take us into the risk assessment procedures for a book, maybe not BetMGM specifically, but any book, and a book's perspective when they start to see the kind of action coming in that Jontay Porter was trying to cash in on.
So it's a pretty delicate situation when you have an athlete betting at your sports book. Mm-hmm. From our point of view, in our trading room, we do have controls in our back end where if we see that a player is betting with us, we don't go up in arms like we got to go freak out, but we have a system in place where we can blacklist that player from betting on the league that he plays in. So that's what would have happened if Jontay Porter was betting with BetMGM. We have the same thing in place for if there are other athletes that are betting with us. So, and then you have to monitor the action very closely. You know exactly what could happen with, you know, the kind of information that they have that they can get. So it's something you have to treat very delicately and completely different from other situations with other gamblers.
Yeah, and Seamus, we could go back, you know, decades and decades. Say what you want about sports books and all that, but if you go back to like the 70s or 80s when you had situations where teams were cheating or taking money, the people that found out, the people that let the leagues know, the colleges know, NCAA, were the sports books. So this is another instance, whether we're talking about Ridley, whether we're talking about that Alabama baseball coach, where because of the system in place, that's how it was found out, because of the sports books. And, you know, some people are like, oh, see, they're in bed with the sports books. Like, no. Porter broke the rules. He's reminded again and again. There are signs all over the locker room. It's all on Porter, and the sports books were the ones that uncovered this.
Yeah, you can honestly argue that we're sometimes too careful with it. I mean, Temple mm-hmm. basketball had, you know, there was about a week where people were like, something fishy is going on with a lot of these betting lines. And I don't know if anything's really come to fruition with that. But again, you can argue that the recreational sports books, the regulated sports books, are, you know, I say sometimes too careful with reporting some of this stuff as well.
Seamus McGee of BetMGM with us here on BetQL Daily. Let's talk NBA playoffs. Let's talk about your Knicks specifically. I've jumped on, and Aaron, who is usually with us as well, we have jumped full steam ahead on the Knicks bandwagon down the stretch this year, despite the injuries. Jalen Brunson just looks like that dude right now. They get the Sixers now in the first round after Philly coming back to beat Miami last night. But I don't know both what you thought of this as a Knicks fan watching Joel Embiid try and get up and down the court, but also what you make of it from the book's perspective, that at least initially the Sixers are installed as a slight series favorite here at minus 115 to the Knicks minus 105.
Yeah, so you got to look at what the spreads are going to be in these games. Philly's more than capable of going into the Garden and stealing a home game to get home court advantage back. But yeah, it's going to be a really tough series. I had a feeling that the Sixers would open favorites just because that's – you have the reigning MVP on your team and the who's probably going to be the most improved player on the team in Maxi. So the line's open. We saw plus 110 at a few shops. We opened Knicks even money in. I think we're all the way down to a pick 'em now, and it's just been one-way traffic series betting on the Knicks. So it looks like it's something where the Sixers, we're probably going to need the Sixers to win the series, but at the end of the day, the Knicks are a really good result for our futures book. So them, most of the heavy hitters in the Eastern Conference are really good for the futures. It's really like the Knicks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Bucks right now are still really good for us. So right now, it's kind of just hoping anyone from the Eastern Conference can pull off an NBA Finals run.
Yeah, you know what really stands out with the six series that we have, prices all up over at BetMGM, is that the majority of them, and this is not what we typically see, the majority of them, pretty close. You guys are saying, this is a toss-up. I don't know. We're going to lean this way as the favorite. We'll see where the action takes us. But, you know, Phoenix, Minnesota, close. Dallas, Clips, really close. Milwaukee, Indiana, about a toss-up. Same thing with the Sixers and Knicks, about a toss-up. Not what we typically see in the first round. Sometimes the first round of the NBA playoffs seems kind of boring. It may be chalky in the end, but it doesn't seem that way to me. So as far as the overall series pricing, how close these matchups are, anything there? And then which series most popular, which one getting the least amount of action?
Yeah, it's good you bring that up because I'm a big hockey fan. I typically choose the NHL playoffs over the NBA playoffs, but this first round slate of games is going to be awesome for the NBA. And there is a lot of close money lines on the series lines for these. So, I mean, I just mentioned the Knicks, Sharps, Public, all got them down to minus 110. Pacers at even money right now. It's been a lot of Indiana Pacer money at the window so far. So right now it looks like we're going to need the Bucks. And the Cavs, really just a small need. There's been slightly more magic money coming through. The Nuggets-Lakers is an interesting one. The Nuggets are a big favorite, but the amount of money we've taken on the Lakers money line necessarily means that we definitely want the Nuggets to go through. Both are horrendous results for the futures book. So, I mean, just have to live with that series as it is. And the Mavericks is an interesting one, where we opened this up a week ago. Once the series was known and decided, we opened this up. We had the Mavs at plus 120, and that was evidently not the right price because this has been bet down all the way to about minus 140. A lot of people getting on the Mavs. And as far as the Suns go, a lot more Suns money coming in, which is interesting. You know, you have a seed, would be a seed upset in that round, and all the money and the Suns being a minus 130 favorite at the moment.
Seamus McGee of BetMGM with us here on BetQL Daily. I want to get into the draft with you, Seamus, but you brought it up, so I'll ask real quick a one-off about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just where are you seeing the action most heavily? You know, there are the teams that we've watched all year that we see should be contenders. There are the teams that were contenders last year and made runs and maybe are still getting steam because of that. And then there are the old standbys, right? Like Tampa Bay is a great example. 10-1 Eastern Conference, 25-1 for the Cup. They're a team that I would imagine always gets some steam going into the playoffs because regardless of how they're playing, they just get up and get going in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Cup prices are pretty liquid once like the playoffs get set. And as far as the Stanley Cup liabilities go, they're always going to be – it's really popular teams that get it. So the Rangers have like a lot of tickets and a lot of money on them. The Oilers, a lot of money on them with Connor McDavid. The Maple Leafs, a ton of money, especially with our book up in Ontario now. So that's usually where we see the money coming in. But you're right, there's definitely some opportunities there. Tampa Bay's been there, done that. Dallas looks like a real contender this year, so you can't sleep on them either.
All right, let's go over to the NFL draft as we get closer and closer. a lot of different markets that, that keep popping up. I know in past years, it's been tough on you guys, especially the COVID year. I know bettors did very well. I think you guys certainly did much better last year. How's the NFL draft action going?
Yeah, it's funny. I usually come on the show 2 weeks before the draft and I talk about how much I hate booking the draft, but it's been a lot more interesting this year. I feel like the draft hasn't taken as much action as we've seen in years past. A lot less sharp action, I've noticed. I think the only thing we're waiting to post are the over-under draft position. I think we'll have those up around Monday of next week. Just those are the sharpest markets in the draft, so we usually hold off to post those until, you know, right when we really start to have a feeling of where people are going to go. But, you know, last year was crazy with, like, the Will Levis steam up to 2, and then he doesn't get drafted in the first round. There's always, like, a crazy story that you might get got out on. But last year was, like, I think last year wasn't very good. The COVID draft was a brutal one because that was, you know, the COVID draft was, there was no sports going on. And we just needed something to bet on. So there was a ton of markets going up there. And, yeah, there's some weird picks in that draft. So this year I'm hoping it can be a little bit different. We got a good team watching over the draft this year. So, yeah, I think we'll start seeing a lot more sharp money. The sharpest money comes in about 2 hours before the draft. So that's when we'll start to see a clear picture of what the board's going to look like.
Seamus McGee of BetMGM with us here on BetQL Daily. Yeah, every mock draft, and we talked about this earlier, and we'll get back into it specifically here in about 10 minutes or so. There's a lot of chalk when you go through, like, the first 10 picks. The variance really seems to start to creep in, revolving around the second tier of quarterbacks, especially at, like, 11, 12, 13. Is that where you guys are seeing maybe the most volatility in the markets?
Yeah, I think 1 through 10, especially the Jets picking 10, like, is kind of like the last pretty clear pick. Right now, all signs are looking like it's Bowers. There's some Adunze chatter in there. But, yeah, I think 11, 12, 13. And then we also have props for team to draft, you know, ex-player, position of player this team drafts first. That's when I think you can maybe see some opportunities there betting-wise because – you know, a guy like Bo Nix can go anywhere from, I've seen 11 through like 45. So it's a very weird, you're right, top 10, pretty much chalk. But then that's when the uncertainty creeps in with the rest of that first round, especially the later half of the first round.
So after the draft, after the first round at least, so next Friday, will you have offensive rookie, defensive rookie, and you expect to just load up on the quarterbacks at the top of the board there?
Yeah, so we usually will have those about 1 or 2 days after the draft ends. We'll try to go up as soon as we can. But, yeah, I think you're going to see Caleb Williams, a very short favorite. Well, like, I wouldn't be shocked if you see Marvin Harrison Jr., like, pretty close to the top, depending on where he goes. If he gets drafted in Arizona, he's going to have plenty of opportunities to, you know, maybe break some records with Kyler Murray down there. So I think – you could load up on the quarterbacks. I think Daniels is the only one who comes pretty close to Williams. But, like, in my personal opinion, like, I don't think Drake May is very good. I saw him lose at home as a 24-point home favorite to my Virginia Cavaliers. I don't see it translating. But J.J. McCarthy, depending on his situation, he could end up being a little short. But we'll have to see a lot of team situations where these guys get picked up.
Seamus McGee of BetMGM with us here on BetQL Daily. When will you guys look to maybe adjust win totals? Because there's the draft and any effect you may get from that. I don't know how great that would be, but then what would I imagine push things in one direction or another would be schedule coming out early May. And whether that we know who the opponents are, but when those opponents are going to be played can affect win totals, I would think, just a little bit. When will those markets get adjusted?
Exactly. The win totals may move slightly, depends on what happens in the draft. I think the Eagles, the draft day trade they made getting A.J. Brown was like a big one. But that's what it would take for a team's win total, I think, to get moved, because we kind of already have that baked in, who we think they're going to get. But yeah, schedule coming out, you'll start to see schedule spots. It'll be way easier to predict, you know, a team's run of games. So that's when you might see some movement on the win totals for sure.
Seamus, we've got about a minute left. Curious how you guys did on the Masters. The TV ratings were down. How is the betting action? I assume it's the most bet golf event of the entire season. And it's just like, it's like a UConn. Everybody knows it's probably going to be Scheffler. It ends up being Scheffler. So how'd you do?
We had a fine Masters. It was really good. Handle was good. I wouldn't say it was the biggest Masters handle we've done, but Scheffler was a great result on the outright. And Tiger playing the whole weekend was actually really good for us. A lot of people bet him to miss the cut. So pretty much most of the big decisions we needed came our way.
Seamus, we appreciate the insights, man. Enjoy your weekend. We thank you again. We'll catch up again down the road as the NBA playoffs progress and we push past the draft. And like we talked about, the NFL schedule release. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Seamus McGee of BetMGM. Those NFL draft positions. Interesting. As the mocks continue to come out, we got some insight as well from Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks earlier. Where does that lead us in the quarterback market? Where does that lead us in that first defensive player market as well? We dive into that next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
We'll be right back with BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Presented by BetMGM from BetQL.
The draft starts at 2 and the Commanders. I don't think they're going to trade out. They're going to stick and pick. It just comes down to which quarterback do they believe is the guy. Who is number one on their board? For me, it's Drake May. I mean, I think he is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think that, you know, when you look at what you want in a quarterback, from just the size, the athleticism, the instinctive nature that he plays with, the arm talent, he has everything. And is it the most consistent all the time? No, but he's a young player who I'm going to bet on those traits every day.
Dane Brugler on You Better You Bet yesterday right here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM. His latest mock draft is out. It's a full 7-rounder. Oh, yeah. You can tell we're getting close to the draft because the full 7-round mocks are coming out, and we are dissecting as much of it as we can get our hands on here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Alongside Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. In 20 minutes, the 8-seed play-in games tomorrow night. No Jimmy Butler. The Bulls' number moving down to 1.5 they're getting now as they head to Miami, Sacramento, New Orleans as well without Zion Williamson. Injuries already a huge part of what will be the NBA playoff and the remaining play-in picture. In 40 minutes, take a look at the limited MLB slate today, as well as some stat leader markets where you may have some opportunity. Lightning bets before we wrap up as well. But we were lucky enough to have Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks on earlier. And he had a couple, well, really the entire thing. Go back and download it on demand as a podcast, whether it's inside your Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, search BetQL Daily. A lot of insight from Ben, but there were two in particular that jumped out to each of us, Joe. The defensive side of the ball is interesting. We can get to that in a second as the same guy keeps getting mocked over and over and over again as the first defensive player off the board, and maybe there's some opportunity there. The just as interesting to me, if not more so, is the quarterback picture, right? So our guy Matthew Friedman had a mock come out yesterday. J.J. McCarthy, 5th overall to Minnesota. Evan Silva of Establish the Run had one recently, just earlier this week, had McCarthy going 11th to Minnesota, followed by Knicks 12, Denver, Penix 13, Vegas. Dane Brugler, who we just heard from, had J.J. McCarthy 4 to Minnesota. Penix going to Vegas at 29, no Knicks in the first round. All of these guys also had 10 offensive linemen and 5 corners in the first round. Before we get to that, before we get to the first defensive player off the board, Joe, the quarterback market. Right now, I see it, the book I'm looking at, 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round, the over heavily juiced, almost $2, minus 175. The under, plus money, 135. Sounds like if we buy into what Ben was telling us an hour ago, there might be some opportunity there if you're willing to go at under 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round.
Yeah, you know, that was everywhere for a while. Under 4.5 was at plus 200. And while I was looking at the markets over at BetMGM, while we were just talking to Seamus there, I believe that they are still there. Yeah, they still are there. Under 4.5 is plus 200. So I think that's a pretty good, just based on price. Would I bet it at plus, you know, 120, 130? No, I would not bet under because that's dicey. You're probably flipping a coin at this point. Knicks, Penix, will they go in the first round? But you're giving me 2-1, and I need them not to go in the first round. I would do that at a price of 2-1. That makes sense to me. It's price dependent, and these are going to move over the next week. They are going to move rapidly. So if you see something that you like, you probably want to bet it now because it's going to go away quickly once word gets out. And it's also interesting that Seamus was saying not as much NFL draft betting as usual. Maybe it's because college basketball was pushed back. We just had the Masters. Like, there's so much going on. NBA playoffs underway. We're going to get the all the matchups for the NHL. There's a ton going on right now, and it is a little different than previous year's schedules. But next week, dude, it's the NFL. It's going to take over.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, very heavily on Thursday, obviously. You're right. It's going to go. It's going to be draft. And you're right. Now's probably the chance if you want to jump on something to do it. The other number I noticed that's interesting because it's there's not as nearly the same kind of value here. But Penix's position at 32.5 minus 120 on both sides. But that tells you that he's the hinge point here, I think. As much as Knicks has been talked about, and I've seen, you know, throughout the mock draft season, Bo Nix to Denver at 12 to, I haven't really seen him to Vegas at 13, to be quite honest, all that much. Before the Minnesota trade up, we were seeing him in some spots a little more heavily in the teens. But Nix, it feels like, falling off the board unless Denver decides to jump on that grenade at 12. And Penix becoming the one who, okay, how's it going to go at 11, 12, 13? Is Minnesota going to trade up? Because, you know, you're even getting some now. Like I mentioned Evan Silva's mock. You know, does Minnesota really believe in trading that kind of draft capital, what they have, 11 and 23, to move up for J.J. McCarthy? I know there's all, and it's not just me. It's like, there's a question about whether J.J. McCarthy is worth that. Or if you're Minnesota, do you sit at 11 and 23? And if McCarthy doesn't fall to you, you've got a guy who believes he can build on a quarterback, right? He can use a system quarterback, a process quarterback, and maybe it is Nix or Penix there. And you get something else later in the first round as well. You build around that quarterback. I don't know, but that's the hinge point, I think, right now is Penix. And does he go, I have a hard time seeing him go in the teens? Or does he go, you know, for example, there's been a couple spots where you see somebody trade back into the late first round, like Brugler's mock, and the Raiders get him at 29. Or is it really, you know, I liken it somewhat, Joe, to what we saw by the Steelers last year and knowing exactly what they wanted to start the second day of the draft. Joey Porter Jr. had fallen through the first round. They had a chance there with the first pick of the second round to sort of reset the board and get exactly what they wanted, and they went out and made it happen. It's interesting. Do we get that where maybe Penix and Knicks don't come off until the beginning of the second day?
It's huge. Whether you're betting the over-under on these guys or the over-under on quarterbacks, because them going in the first round is going to decide that wager. The majority of mocks that I've been taking a look at, they're picking one. They're picking one of the two to go in the first round, and then the other one falls. There is no consensus on which player is going to go in the first round. A friend of the show, John Daigle, he released his mock draft yesterday. He had neither of them going in the first round. So I'm sure if we talk to John, he's going to say, yeah, I bet under 4.5 quarterbacks for the first round. You mentioned what Brugler did. Another friend of the show, Matthew Friedman, he put Nix at 12, Penix not in the first round. Schrager put Nix at 23, Penix not in the first round. There's really no consensus. I saw a couple that had both, but the majority are saying, okay, one of these two is going to go in the first round, and then good luck. What I thought was really interesting was is that in our conversation with Benjamin Robinson, I had two big takeaways. This was one of them about the quarterbacks. Also, he's high on the receivers, going a bunch of receivers, which, you know, that could go either way. And just whether you're doing mocks, just like everybody's just plugging in Dallas Turner. Is this based on information? Is this based on the biggest need, Turner to Atlanta? And that's so big because that also eats into the top 10 market, which guys are going to squeeze in. Is there going to be a different name that pops in with some value? The number 8 pick overall in first defensive player drafted, because it looks like if a defensive player goes 8, that will be the first defensive player drafted. Or, I don't know, I've seen some Adunze out there to the Falcons, which would be really interesting. A lot of Bears fans hoping that he falls to them at 9. So maybe there's value in first defensive player drafted. Turner minus 125 favorite at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's wide open. And we've seen Jared Verse anywhere from, what, the mid-teens, right? Like Indianapolis at 15, all the way down to, you know, as low as 27, 28, 29. I got to think when there's that much variance on a player, there's the possibility that somebody's going to jump on it even earlier. And when you do get something that's almost written in ink, like we've talked about with Dallas Turner, I'm not quite buying in. I'm just not. Like the top 10 seems very chalky, the top 4 or 5 at least, maybe. But from there, I got to think there's a lot more in play. And I keep coming back around, Joe, to, you know, I mentioned it earlier this week and late last week. There's the possibility New England doesn't go quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. That would be, I think, a very large swerve at this point if they didn't, but that possibility still exists. We don't know if Arizona's going to trade out of 4 and simply go back a spot. Are they going to go back to 11? Where are they going to go back to? And who jumps into that spot? What's it mean for Marvin Harrison Jr.? What's it mean for what the Chargers want to do? If Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board, can they simply not pass that up despite the fact that they know they need an offensive lineman? Does that mean Tennessee is without Joe Alt at 7 and we get a run on tackles there at 7 where they instead have to pivot and go to a Fashanu or a Fuaga or a Latham? And so the question for me then is why it's the first thing I asked Benjamin earlier is kind of like, where does the draft start? Where do we get our first swerve? I'd love to believe, not just as a viewer and a consumer of the draft and a fan of the NFL, that we get an early swerve and we're all losing our minds and Twitter's popping off at like 9:15 next Thursday night. But as a bettor, for someone who wants to find some certainty in the markets, I want it to be boring as hell. And we look up at like 10:45 and go, man, when is this draft going to start?
Well, it depends how you bet, because you can bet on some of the high variance stuff that happens in the NFL draft, like some of these long shots, and end up doing pretty good. But yeah, you're right, because right now there's a lot of groupthink and, okay, it's going to line up this way. It never goes that way. One trade can mess it all up. Can just throw everything off. That's why it's so hard. Latu is the second favorite for first defensive player drafted. Highly disagree with that. So I'm very tempted right now with Jared Verse at 4-1 at BetMGM for first defensive player drafted. I could certainly see that, but there is also the possibility Verse goes 9, but it doesn't mean he's the first defensive player because it still could be Turner at 8. So it's fascinating. Now, you could have a strong opinion on how something's going to play out, but you got to make sure it's a winning bet. What's going to make it a winning bet? So if you think Verse is going 9, it doesn't mean he's going to be the first defensive player drafted. So that could be a loss. So what you would probably want to do there is, okay, hope that the Bears don't trade out and they do take Verse there and do that matchup, because I think that's like +275 or 3-1 or something like that. Not as juicy of a number, but at least your bet would be correct. Like sometimes there are angles like that where just like, oh man, right size, wrong shape. Like I was right there with the bet, but officially it grades out as a loser. But you know, it's interesting. I keep pointing out Daigle. in his mock, because a lot of it is different. And that's kind of what I'm looking for, as opposed to everyone else. He has Dallas Turner sliding to 27.
Wow.
27. Big drop. He has Mitchell, the corner, sliding all the way to 29. Most people have him going around number 15, maybe number 17 there. So it's interesting. He put verse number 9. Man, there's going to be so much that changes. Seamus told us that on draft day, a few hours out is when you get the sharpest information, and he would know. And you want to watch those moves, because they're usually dead on. I do also remember last year on draft day, hours out, and I'm tracking this as the numbers are going wild. Oh, my gosh, this guy to go fourth is minus 300. There were some of those moves that were dead wrong. I remember the Seattle one in particular, where everybody was wrong on what was going to happen. The C.J. Stroud one was not. That steam was real. Stroud going to the Texans at 2. But some of the other stuff after that in the top 5 was dead wrong.
This is interesting. This is a very interesting note. Before I get to it, because I'm going to pull off the classic radio tease with this. Latu, who you mentioned, right now grinding the mocks, has him right about 19. And there's a gap there after 19 because it's widely regarded. I don't think there's a single mock draft out there that has the Pittsburgh Steelers, who already have TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Herbig behind those two guys going edge at 20. There's a gap there where then you see some of him in the 20s. But Latu right now, plus money. If you think he's going to slide beyond that 19 spot, plus money, at least in the one spot that I'm looking at plus 170. So almost $2, which means you could probably get it a little bit better at some more established books. A GM is saying we are open for business on a top 5 pick, and it's one we just brought up. We'll update you on that. Plus, we look at tomorrow night's play-in games for the 8 seeds in the East and the West in the NBA. That's all next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
This is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM from BetQL.
Very limited MLB slate today. We'll take a quick peek at it in about 20 minutes here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. And yes, there are 4 teams left battling for the final 2 spots in the NBA playoffs, the final play-in games for the 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. tip, Heat, Bulls, Heat without Jimmy Butler for the foreseeable future, it sounds like. Bulls coming off a big win over the Hawks, and the Pelicans without Zion Williamson. How do you know you're in the NBA playoffs? Your favorite team is dealing with an injury to a major player. We'll host the Sacramento Kings just after 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central tomorrow. We will get into those in just a moment alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. This is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL network. And we were just talking NFL draft. We had Benjamin Robinson on earlier from Grinding the Mocks. And the one thing I keep bringing up, you keep mentioning, Joe, we all keep talking about, when will the draft actually start? Will the Patriots actually go quarterback at number 3? Elliot Wolf, director of player personnel, de facto GM for the New England Patriots, at his pre-draft press conference just a few moments ago. This from Chad Graff, who covers the Patriots for The Athletic. Quote, "We're open for business." Now, that could just be a GM doing the right thing, saying, hey, give us a call. Tell us what you're willing to give up for number 3. We'll listen and then tell you no, because we've got a chance to get a franchise quarterback there, we feel like. Or, and that would be the right thing to do. That would be the right thing to do if you are Elliot Wolf. Or they could legitimately, Joe, be open for business. And if that's the case, like I've been saying all along, next Thursday night, something happens at number 3 and chaos strikes the NFL draft's first round anyway.
Yep. You know where I stand. I don't think they should take a quarterback. And a lot of people are just plugging in a quarterback 3rd of 3. Well, their quarterback situation's a mess, so they got to take one. And there are 3 guys, maybe 4, that people project in the top 5. So give them the best on the board. What evidence do we have that they love whichever guy it is, whether it's Daniels or whether it's May. They're awful at a lot of spots, and that's the problem. They're nowhere near ready to win. It's probably going to be a couple of years before they think they're going to be ready. So why would you eat up the first 2 years of a rookie quarterback contract in that spot? So, yeah, I think he should make a trade. He should try to open for business. Is that news? It's also, there's 1 week till the draft. So there's going to be teams lying about a lot of different stuff. If they're talking into an open mic on the record, they're probably lying. So I want to be a little bit skeptical and say, yeah, it doesn't mean they're for sure going to make a trade. But Aaron, I think they should make a trade. Problem is, you need a dance partner.
Yeah, and I mean, they have Jacoby Brissett, right? So who can they, like, what all would they get back? How many picks and stuff like that? Because they obviously need a lot, the Patriots. They're in rebuild mode right now. But Jacoby Brissett is serviceable. If you can rock with him and then get a bunch of picks and stuff, I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, it brings into question, too, like, I brought up Minnesota a couple minutes ago. And who was it? Evan Silva, his latest mock draft for Establish the Run, had the top three going 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's all well and good. Maybe there's no chaos at the third spot. But then had Minnesota staying put at 11. At 11, taking J.J. McCarthy. Okay, Minnesota stays put at 11, goes J.J. McCarthy there, and then boom, boom, 12 and 13. Denver goes Knicks. Vegas goes Penix. Quarterbacks that we don't expect, and if you listen to Benjamin Robinson earlier from Grinding the Mocks, we don't necessarily expect to go that high, but maybe there's a quarterback run. The other possibility, maybe Minnesota doesn't go quarterback at 11. Maybe they say, yeah, we don't believe in any of these guys at 11, but we'll take them at 23, and they make another move at 11. I don't know, but the flux is in the quarterback market, Joe. That's where it is.
Yeah.
That's where there's going to be all the movement. And I think, to your point, you know, this is about, look, the NFL for the last quarter century or so has been about the New England Patriots. For a lot of us, the New England bleeping Patriots. They won't go away, right? It's Brady. It's Belichick. And isn't it ironic that here we are in the downfall of the great dynasty? Tom has gone on to Tampa and won a Super Bowl and is flirting with coming back with the Raiders. And Bill can't get a job even in Atlanta after a couple of interviews. It seems like everything's a mess. They've got to rebuild the Death Star from scratch. And what are we doing? We're sitting here still talking about the New England Patriots. Because they hold the key to unlock the whole first round if they want to and cause the chaos that I keep talking about. I'm not sure if this is my own psyche that's been so injured by the Patriots over the last quarter century, feeling like I've got a blank spot in my brain and I've got to talk about them that's trying to cook up this scenario, or if this is actually like a concrete thing that could really come true where they trade out of three and cause the whole thing to spin out of control. But it all comes back to the Patriots again.
I'm fine with it. It's fine. It's not Belichick and it's not Brady. It's a new era of the New England Patriots. And we're getting the drama where Kraft is talking crap about Belichick to these other teams. Like we're getting some of what we were hoping for eventually. Talk about off air about Paul Aspen being broken. Well, that organization at some levels is broken. And you could take solace in that. Like, if they were to build it back up, I would just say, you know what? Respect to them. Everybody left, and they were able to start from the ground floor and build it back up. So I'm fascinated to see what New England ends up doing. You got to find somebody that looks at Daniels or May, probably. I don't think it'll be McCarthy. And say, okay, we're willing to give up multiple assets for those guys. I don't know that there's that team. The opinions on May, Aaron, they're all over the place. Some think he's great. Some think he's close to Caleb. And some think he's going to be a bust.
And Which team would that be that's willing to go all in? It seems like from a front office perspective, that would be bad to go all in for either Drake May or JJ McCarthy. It's a huge gamble on a rookie quarterback when you could just get some draft, you know, stay where you are. I just don't see which team would be that desperate. Right?
Especially JJ McCarthy,
that would be shocking. Right. You know, with coming from that defense, so many unknowns. The Drake May thing, I guess if your talent evaluators are like, this guy is the real deal, we've got to, you know, do everything we can to trade up. But I don't know what team that would be.
There's a decent enough cross-section of what sounds like the scouting community, the personnel community, that has some level of belief in May's athletic abilities and his skills and his traits, that Drake May doesn't get past that second group of teams at 11, 12, and 13. But in a world where quarterbacks start tumbling down the board, and this would just be for pure entertainment purposes, like I would have my bowl of popcorn and just sit there and stare at the TV for hours next Thursday night, watching quarterbacks tumble. Is that out of the question? After we've spent this whole draft season talking about 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 in the top 4, and then maybe another one at 11, maybe we get 6 quarterbacks in the first round. Wouldn't it be hilarious and turn the whole world upside down? Again, if you can't tell this morning, I'm here for the chaos. if quarterbacks start to slide beyond 13, Am I getting too crazy now, Joe? Because no. You could see 6 quarterbacks going if you wanted to go totally wild and all quarterbacks in the first 13 picks. I think there's also a world where only 3 go. And we get into the teens wondering, where's McCarthy going to land? Well, Nixon Penix, second round, right? Definitely. I mean, that's the other side of the coin.
Well, we end up talking about it so much because it's the most important position in sports, certainly in football. And you're obsessed with JJ McCarthy, right? Like, isn't that part of it? And you just ended that question with JJ McCarthy. So I can't wait. I cannot wait to see the landing spot. Dang, I wish it was in your division. I really do. But that's not going to happen. No, yeah. There's no way. But you're going to hate this team automatically. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm going to bet against them all 17 games in the fall.
You think he's going to start from day one? Oh, that would set you off. That'd be another thing. Could.
Betting opportunity.
Yeah, he certainly could.
But yeah, I'm here for the chaos, Aaron. Give it to me.
I want the chaos too. Like, I love the draft and the trades and the chaos and the surprises. It's the best part.
Yeah,
it is. And why we will be locked in next Thursday night and have a ton of coverage to get you ready for it. If you'd like to bet on some of the chaos between now and a week from tonight, we've got you covered all next week. Multiple guests every single day on the draft, getting you ready. Again, if you missed anything today, whether it was our discussion the last 20 plus minutes about the NFL draft, whether it was Benjamin Robinson, you know all you got to do, rewind inside your Odyssey app, or better yet, download us as a podcast, subscribe to BetQL Daily, wherever you get your podcasts, including right here inside this very Odyssey app. So here's the game plan for the final hour. We've got lightning bets before we wrap up the show, but we do have the 8-seed play-in games to talk about, which we went totally off script and just obsessed about JJ McCarthy in the draft for the last 15 minutes. So we'll get to that next, and then we'll get to the limited MLB slate today and some of those stat leader categories we promised you we would talk about as well. The draft has us all over the place. The Patriots are open for business. They haunt my nightmares, and we're just 7 days away from all of it going down. Alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. You're with us right here for another hour on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.